Hey folks, welcome to the Dr. Kira Banks Show. Today we're going to do a member check-in. If you've been following, we are doing a Year of Self-Love Journal book club. And today we excitedly have our first member of the book club live with us to check in and see how it's going. So welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So first tell me, what pulled you into the book club? Why'd you join?
Well, first of all, I joined because you were talking about it. And I liked the way the book looked. And I thought it was a good idea. It was the first of the year. I was like, this sounds interesting. I could work on this maybe a week at a time and see where it takes me.
So I'm touched because I was talking about it, you were willing to pick it up.
Absolutely.
And it's visually appealing. It really is. It's a nice book. But what about, like, just because I was talking about it, or was there something about the topic that made you?
Well, when you were talking about that you actually picked up the book and then the first time you got it, you put it down. And I was like, I'm curious to see what's in the journal that made, you know, you kind of pause before you continue, you know, going through the whole thing.
So I forgot I even shared that. I was trying to be honest. I really was that yes, this is a process for all of us. And that when I first picked up the book, I really only got it because it was written by a friend.
Right.
Like, I was just trying to support a friend, right? A friend writes a book, you're going to pick it up. And I had every intention. I meant to do it, and then I didn't. And so I'm glad that resonated with you. And I hope folks listening also just take in that this journey of self-love, while it might sound all well and good, can be bumpy. And sometimes maybe life is lifing. Maybe the world is being the world. And it can feel like it can bring up a lot of things and make you feel like, you know what, let me sit this down for a minute. And so, yes, that is where I was when I picked it up the first time. And actually, this last time, I was really just trying to show how pretty the books were. I didn't mean for everyone to buy it. So you just bought it. You're like, let me get it.
Yeah, I bought it. I bought it immediately. I was like, you know, it's the beginning of the new year. Maybe I need a little mental challenge. I like the self-love part. You know, I like getting into stuff that, you know, can improve myself, you know, learning new habits, stuff like that. So I was like, this fits right in. You know, I can support you, support your friend. And I just ordered it.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate you being willing to trust me and her and jumping in there. Had you done any of this? I know you do a lot of self, like the self-improvement, like self-maximizing books. But this one around self-love, had you done any books specifically around?
No. And that's another reason why I was interested. Like, it seemed very specific in one area that just saying self-love is kind of like, maybe I should check in there a little bit. And I was like, maybe this is a way for me to get started on that type of journey. So
what did you expect, or like, what did you think or guess it was going to be like?
Oh, I thought it was going to be all, you know, all butterflies and, you know, make you kind of feel good, a little self-check-in, but opening the first page and doing the first week, I was like, oh, this is going to be a lot.
Yeah.
And I started the first week and I haven't done it since then because it was really a lot to take in, and going through those waves of different feelings and emotions after the first week, I was like, maybe I need to stretch this out. Maybe this might be a 2-year journey.
Maybe.
Maybe a every other week, because it doesn't kind of sugarcoat maybe some things you haven't, you know, looked at.
Yeah.
It starts right there.
Yeah, she doesn't really pull any punches.
No.
The questions
are the questions, and yep, you're going to answer them or you're not going to answer them. And I found myself sitting there like, oh, this is going to require some.
Yeah, yeah. And I chuckled because you're like, maybe this won't be a year. This might be two. Because that's okay, right? Like, it's okay if you stretch it out. I think being on the journey is important, because that first week if we look at that first week, it is. It's questions that are pretty pointed. I am willing to learn how to love myself. I'm worthy of unconditional love. That's the affirmation for the week. And it really asks you to reflect on, like, if you truly loved and accepted all parts of yourself, who could you be? How would your life be better? And how would you be happier? There's a quiz that has you take stock of the different behaviors you engage in. And so it's a little bit like, I think about it like, you know how some people avoid going to the doctor because they don't want the news?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or like you don't want to step on the scale because you're like, I don't even want to see the number.
Yes.
Right? Or I've been, you know, I feel like my blood pressure is in a good place, but like just put on the thing and get the measurement. And so in a way, that's what this week is about. And so what I appreciate is your honesty. Because I think some people, when it comes to book clubs, right, there's all this pressure. Like, you're in it, you got to read it. This is the type of book that it's not just about buying it. It's not just about opening it. It's not even just about doing the things on the page. But you talked about the waves of feelings, emotions, the memories, as I got further along in the weeks, there's questions and affirmations that like bring up memories that make me literally want to go like put my head under a blanket and just hide from the world because I'm having to remember stuff that was tough and love myself through it. And so what I appreciate about your willingness to chat is that there might be people who are listening who did the same thing you did. Like, oh, that's cute. Let me put this over here. Like, oh, I'm intrigued by what Dr. Banks is talking about, but I might have to take a little bit longer. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, because you realize that this is definitely going to be a journey. Might take more than a year, and you don't have to. I mean, it took me a second to realize I don't have to do this whole thing in a year.
Exactly.
Just because that is the parameters it's in, and I can pick up. Maybe I need to spend maybe an extra week on this week and dial in or get a better understanding. Because as I was taking that, I think you do like a quiz that mm-hmm. first week.
Mm-hmm.
On that second page, I started looking toward the end like, I wonder what my score is going to be, which was kind of affecting how I was trying to answer the questions.
You were trying to game the system from the beginning.
And I was like, because every question is, you know, it's... You know, you're looking at a different aspect or whatever, and it's kind of like, ooh, I'm not doing too well in that area, mm-hmm. or I'm doing really good in that area, but this area needs work, and yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah, and that is real. That's real. So I hope that other folks listening have as much grace with themselves as you're having with yourself, because you might even need to sit a month on one of these week affirmations.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd say is this idea of self-love is one that sometimes gets very gendered. So I wonder if you had any thoughts about going on this experience as a man. Like, did that occur to you? Like, are the stories that you're told about being a man and like proclaiming self-love, what are those stories? What are the narratives? Is there a story that you've been told about whether you should love yourself or not?
Well, I think in this, maybe not, but I've done so many things that, like journeys like this, mm-hmm. that I don't really like look at it like as a man I'm doing. I just look at it like I'm going through this process. You talked about it, and I don't really care if other men are interested. I will say that when you're talking about it, I was like, I'm gonna do this self-love, you know, journal, and I was kind of like, and the reason that if I'm saying it like that, maybe that's an area I need to look at, because I don't know too many guys. This is not something we sit around, hey man, what's your self-love score looking like? You know, that's not what you say in a typical conversation. So it's just more for me. And hopefully I can learn something from this and be able to possibly share with other people, you know, or share the growth that I'm experiencing after going through this. Because I might not necessarily say I went through this whole journal, but mm-hmm. I can take away the skills I've learned and apply them in different places. That's what I was looking for. But yeah. I don't really look at stuff like this as other guys doing it, because in many areas that's really not the case, and I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah. I mean, you're progressive. You're not caught up on gender role and norms, and like as a man or as a Black man in particular, like it doesn't Absolutely. Seem like you're guided by what people say, right, you should be. But I also think that there are times, sometimes when we slow down, like you said, it's an area that you hadn't spent a lot of time in. Sometimes we get guided by those narratives about those different parts of who we are in ways that we don't even realize. I know I realize that, like, as a woman, as a Black woman, as a Black woman who's a mother, there were all these things that I was telling myself I should be, or ways that I should show up. And then I sat down and thought about it, and I was like, wait, hold up. I get to choose. And so that's why I was just curious if, from a gendered perspective, or as a Black man specifically, if you think there are stories or expectations that you're told about self-love. So I'm glad you're open.
Well, in my experience, I don't think that's even talked about, the self-love, you know, from a older Black man talking to you about self-love. It's just kind of like you know, you figure it out. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough, but it's not that part of. And I think that's also why I was really interested in it, because I haven't had that experience in talking with somebody. And maybe I can learn this and share it with somebody else that might be, you know, cousins.
Yeah.
Maybe older people, younger people, and
be
somebody that talks about it a little
bit. So. Yeah. What do you think? Do you have any ideas about what would be possible if the conversation about self-love were happening among more Black men?
Great question. I think just even as you ask that question, the fact that I'm pausing to realize that maybe more people need to take that pause to take the time to look into this would be helpful. To even ask yourself, what does self-love mean to you as a Black man? And then that can help you, you know, branch out and love other people. It's kind of hard to be like, I love and care about these people, and you haven't even sat down and dealt with how you love yourself. So in that aspect, it could be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Just to pause and just be okay with thinking about the topic in general, which probably doesn't happen.
Yeah. Because I can imagine, and I'm, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong and when I'm wrong, because I'm thinking solely from like the literature on Black men and masculinity, right? That there's this literature that talks about Black men having to like put on this like cool pose of how they have to show up. And so that's very much about how they have to appear to other people. And that sometimes to put that on, I would imagine you might have to feel like, if I have to put this on, maybe who I am or how I am isn't enough. If I'm being told to show up a certain way and I have to like put on that costume, that whether we are explicit about it or not, how you are inherently must not be good enough. And then there's the other piece of me that's like, oh, but also it could be that if you have to put that on, maybe there's an arrogance that comes with it. So it's like, well, I almost like a assumed self-love if you're putting this on, but then it's like, that's, it could be thin or like false rather than a genuine self-love. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And then the fact that you use the word have to put this on.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you haven't even thought about why you feel like
yes.
you have to put that on.
Yes.
Which goes back to the topic of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can choose to put it on or not.
And there are consequences.
But if you can start from a place of self-love, I think you're maybe have the tools to decide or better understand why or why not you're putting that on. Because let's not avoid the fact that is, in a lot of situations, the case of having to put that on.
Yeah.
Whatever that is and whatever that environment is.
Yeah.
But if you can't go back to that starting place of self-love, think over time that having to just can wear you down.
Or become synonymous with how you see yourself.
Absolutely.
Rather than this is who I am at my core. I love myself. And for this situation, I'm choosing to put this
Absolutely.
On.
Those are two completely different things. And just saying that out loud can give you a different sense of power in choosing what you're doing.
Ooh, okay. So I know you put the journal down after the first week, and that is okay. We are here to say. And you just said one of the later week's affirmations that talks about my superpower being that I can choose and that I can make good decisions.
See, now I got to pick it back up. What am I waiting for?
Well,
in that case,
yeah.
There feels like there might be on my part a fear of finding out what's further down the journey that I'm trying to delay getting there.
But you're already there because you just professed it.
That
so
is
like
true.
Do you have more self-love than you are giving yourself credit for? And
possibly.
You know, like did you put it down because you're like, ooh, I don't know, maybe I don't have like you said, you felt you weren't doing well enough on the quiz. Like you were already judging yourself, like, oh, this is gonna be some work. But you literally, in what you just said, jumped ahead 4 weeks and have mastery of that affirmation about being able to choose. So maybe it's a matter of, are you judging yourself maybe too harshly?
Possibly. And going back to what we talked about earlier is the fact that I don't have experience of having this conversation is kind of like I'm kind of like disoriented.
Okay.
Like, I don't know where this is going to lead to. I don't know if I'm going in the right direction because I can't look out there and see like somebody that's on their journey a little further ahead of me, which I can do in other situations. It's kind of like I'm standing here with this book and the vastness of the directions I could go seems endless.
And rather than like that being enticing, it was terrifying.
Terrifying. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I can't look and be like somebody else is a little bit further out there and I kind of see where they kind of headed with it. I have no like concrete markers or places to get my bearings. So
yeah.
It's kind of like I'm just out here.
And you know, what's interesting is that, okay, a couple things. I wonder if we could tie this feeling to something that feels familiar that might give you some more confidence to navigate it. So, like you've lifted weights before, you've done strength training, right?
Right, right.
And so, you know, sometimes if you haven't done it for a while and you do a really hard workout, you literally might have the DOMS, right? The delayed onset muscle soreness. It might hurt to get in and out of bed, up and down stairs, all of those things. And the first time you experienced that, it might have felt like, wait, hold up. Do I need to stop? Is this not safe?
Right.
This is scary.
Right.
This hurts. Is this what we're talking about? Do I have to feel this for the next?
Right.
And so is there something else like that that you could think about that could help you anchor you and give you those bearings to be like, I'm out here in something new, but like also I can see this. I might not know where I'm going, but I can lean into this process.
Well, the obvious answer is, you know, continue watching your updates on it.
Oh, you flatter me.
No, seriously. Because okay. there's one person going through this.
Okay.
You know, there's nobody locally that I can say that I know that's going through this book, and I don't feel a need to ask about that.
Mm.
But like your example with strength training, it's kind of like this, if we stay with that, this mm-hmm. is a muscle that I need to grow.
Yes.
So at first, is the first workout, it's going to suck.
It's going to suck. It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. It's not going to be fun.
It's going to be awkward.
Or another example is running. You know, you get excited. In my mind, I could mash this up with joining a running group. First week, I might be at the back of the line, you know, just holding on. So in this example, I can take that mindset with this. You know, it's okay that I don't have this, you know, this marker out here, but I do understand that if you keep running, you keep lifting, you develop the muscle, you develop the tools, and I understand that, but thank you for bringing it up like that, because it's very easy. It's just me with a book for me to stack this up with some other books, man.
Yeah.
But like, I get to it when I get to it.
Right. Because we know many of us have our stack of books.
Absolutely.
That we buy and we're like, ooh, I can't wait to read that. And then who knows when we get to that.
Right.
Well, I really do appreciate you like thinking out loud about that, because I don't think you're alone. I don't think you're alone in like people getting excited about the journey and then getting intimidated or scared or nervous or overwhelmed.
Yes.
Or a whole host of things that then lead us to put it down. I mean, that's what I did when I first picked it up. So I appreciate you sharing, and I appreciate listeners and followers for asking about the book, for asking where to buy it, for not even asking, just saying purchased. And I was like, I just was posting a picture of pretty books that I was going to gift to people. It made me say, you know what? Let me share this journey. Let me go ahead and go with the momentum of what people are asking for. And it'll be a way to like hold me accountable to go through it. And then also a way to pull other people through this work that I really do think is important.
Absolutely. So why did you think to do this now? I know you talked about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you pick the book back up and this time kind of sticking with our little metaphor, keep running with it this time?
Right. Yeah, no, I see you. I see what you did there. Yeah, so I mean, that piece, like I said, about it really was the momentum of everyone saying like, hey, I want to do this. But then also, I have to say, it was a cumulative effect of me thinking about in this moment, in our, not just our country, in our world, where is my lane and what do I think is needed? And I was struck because over the break, I was sick and did some reading, and I read Audre Lorde's Burst of Light. And I've talked about this in other episodes of the show, but I really wanted to understand, people always pull her quote about rest is resistance. They pull that quote, and I wanted to read like what led her up to that quote. And what I found is that it's in the epilogue of her book, A Burst of Light, which is the book where she talks about her battle with cancer, right? So here's this woman who ultimately dies and of cancer not long, I think maybe 3 or 4 years after she finishes this book. In the epilogue has this statement about self-care being an act of warfare, act of resistance. And I wanted to understand what led her up to that and why she was saying it. And what was clear to me was when she was articulating this need to like take care of herself, to push, to make sure she had the choices and the agency in her own treatment and went to other countries to get different opinions and different modalities to treat her cancer, and didn't just go with the kind of Western U.S. prescriptive standard of care. It was clear to me that she wasn't just saying, hey, make sure you take care of yourself. Hey, make sure you eat your vegetables. Make sure you do some cardio. She was saying it for the sake of being able to work together to dismantle oppression. Like, it was not a frivolous act. That's why it was revolutionary. That's why it was an act of warfare, because she was saying we have to take care of ourselves to be able to fight, like hell, basically. And not in a, like, an individualistic way, but we are individual humans. And yet her articulation to me felt so much about how if we see our shared humanity, we engage in this self-care, in this self-love, to be able to be in community and uphold our shared humanity. And so much of what I see right now is counter to that, is not being willing to see a common humanity in other people, not being willing to see the need to dismantle oppression rather than reify it. And there was a part of me that felt like, you know, this might be another way in, like maybe a subversive way to get people to honor themselves, to slow down and to love themselves enough to realize that they matter, that they're worthy. And so is the person who is next to them or lives in another country, but they don't understand, or who is being impacted by climate change, even though they're not in the moment, like all of that. And so as a clinical psychologist, I'm very steeped in the individual psychology, but much of my work in the past, 5 to 10 years has been about institutions and how do we make systems and policies and practices and people in positions of power implement those so that we can have less oppressive systems. And so this felt like, an opportune time to say, you know what, another way into that is to also make sure that the individuals, so yes, systems exist and systems will exist even when the individuals leave them. But if we also could think about a collection of individuals who are steeped in self-love, who are steeped in self-care, that we would be powerful to be able to like live out and then scale up the change that we want to see in the world. That's a long-winded answer, but that's part of why this felt congruent when people resonated with it to just step into it. Because I think that we all need to have more self-love. And I have this mantra that I've been writing about for a while of like touching joy daily. Like, we don't have to dive into it. We don't be swimming in it, but can we touch it? And that if we can get in the practice of loving ourselves, touching joy, being in community, that puts us in a much better place to be able to work together, to fight, to dismantle oppression and build truly life-giving systems. So I think liberation is more possible when we love ourselves.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for this. Can't wait to see where this journey takes all of us. But like you said, it does start with self-love before you can do the work.
You know what? I don't know if it's sequential though. That's where I don't think it's a before, because sometimes being in community can actually help us see that we're worthy. Sometimes the way that we help ourselves is by helping other people. So sometimes the way, like I might not feel like to, I might wake up in the morning and not feel so worthy, but I then go in service of other people, whether it's like I'm a teacher, so I have a great class, and or a student happens to send me an email to say thanks for something, or I see a colleague and it feels warm to like be in this institution that has this mission around social justice, right? Like, and so it's like being in relationship can sometimes feed our reminder to ourselves.
Very true.
Right? And so
very true.
I don't want us to think that it has to be either or. So if you feel like this is a muscle you need to work in terms of self-love, It's not like, oh, I have to build this muscle before I can be in community.
Yes.
Because sometimes jumping into the work and being in relationship can feed you to do the individual work. So yeah, I think it's like a, what would you call it? Symbiotic
relationship. Yeah, it's kind of feeds upon itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope this conversation has been helpful for folks, because I know for me, it's just helped me know like what's happening. People are sharing that they've bought the book, but like, what has it been like doing it? And then I also really appreciate you asking, you know, what kind of was behind it and giving me a chance to share some of that story about like how it came to be, kind of happenstance, but how it also fits into where I'm wanting us to move as a collective.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, all thank right. you for having me, and I'll pick it back up.
You don't have to make that. You don't have to make that promise. What do you
not a promise. A commitment to continue.
Okay.
Commitment to continue.
And regardless, you're still a member of the book club.
I'll appreciate it.
Yeah. You don't have to. You don't have to be up on the weeks to be a member. So.
Well, I'm already behind anyway, so.
There's no behind.
Oh, here we go.
You're on the road.
I'm on the road. I'll go keep running.
All right, y'all. Thanks so much for joining us on the Dr. Kira Banks Show. You can find me, Dr. Kira Banks, across all socials. And thanks for joining us.
Have tea to spill or something you want to ask Dr. Banks? Contact her at kirabanks.com/stories or stories@raisingequity.org. Thanks for listening.